Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business celebrities. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
It's time once again for Playmakers Talk Show, and I'm Steve Klein. We have two Playmakers today who specialize first in a new eyelash extension concept, and the other who is producing a documentary on what actually happened in Trauma Room 1 at Parkland Hospital the moments after President John F. Kennedy was shot. In the studio today is an entrepreneur who has developed semi-permanent eyelash extensions, and later by phone, we're going to have a woman whose passion is fueling the telling of the story of her father, who was a doctor, who was at the bedside of John F. Kennedy. These great playmakers are Anna Phillips. She is a president and founder of The Lash Lounge. And later we'll have Christy Jenkins, who is producing Kennedy, Parkland, Doctors, Daughter, The Missing Piece. Let's begin today's show with Anna. Now, Anna is the founder and the president of a company called The Lash Lounge. She began her career as a massage therapist, esthetician, and permanent makeup artist, and worked as a massage therapist at Google, where she soaked in the entrepreneurial and the creative atmosphere. While living in the West Coast, Anna came across the application of eyelash extensions, a service only known to stylists and industry insiders of the time. After moving to Texas, Anna became one of the first certified eyelash extension trainers for extreme lashes and traveled the U.S. training others on the service. She also rented a small room, taking clients, and eventually grew into a widespread demand. Anna opened the first Lash Lounge salon in 2006 and needed to open two additional salons to keep up with demand. Recognizing that the need for the service was not slowing down, Anna began the process of franchising the business in 2009 and added 5 franchisee locations to a total of 8, with more on the way. Anna, thank you for joining us at Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I didn't mention it in this bio, but I did see it in your bio. I need to ask you a question. You were a computer programmer in the IT business. How does a computer programmer end up with something called the Lash Lounge?
The Lash Lounge. Well, Steve, I actually have a light bulb moment that I always tell people about this. When I got out of college, I went straight into corporate America, like most young adults do, with the vision to, you know, make a lot of money and have a great career. And quite frankly, I just really did not enjoy it. And one day in particular, I had an emergency root canal. I had to leave work to go get my tooth worked on. And as I was drooling on myself and the dentist was drilling on my teeth.
This is a great visual, by the way.
Oh, yes. Thanks. I was thinking to myself, and of course, numbed up half of my face, I'm sure I'm glad I'm here getting a root canal and I'm not at work. And so that was when the light bulb went off and I realized I probably need to start looking for a different career path because I just was not passionate about what I was doing. So that was the beginning of the end, if you will, for the corporate America and the start of me trying to determine what it is that I could be passionate about and how could I follow that and what did that look like.
All right. So that ended your computer programming career and you wanted to get something that you were passionate about. Mm-hmm. How did you end up with eyelashes? Because that was only known to a few back in the West Coast back then.
That's right. Actually, when I made the switch from computers into the beauty industry, I started off as a massage therapist, realized that I really enjoyed providing a service and taking care of clients, especially when they appreciated my service, which computers, you know, was not much appreciated. And so I started off with massage therapy, and I wanted to make myself more marketable. So I went back and acquired more skills with an aesthetics license, a permanent makeup license. And then the type of eyelashes that I do now, the semi-permanent kind, really did not come to the U.S. until about 2005, 2006. And I always say I was just at the right place at the right time. I heard about it, and I added it to my service and menus, and I happened to be one of the first people applying them. And then I was also training all over the U.S. to teach others how to apply them. And so my demand in the eyelash business just started growing exponentially. And it kind of took me down a path that I had no idea I would go. So I went home one day after working many weeks in a row, about 7 days a week, 12-hour days many times. And my husband was complaining about not seeing me. And I said, well, babe, maybe I need to turn this into an eyelash salon so I could have more workers. And he looked at me cross-eyed and told me to write up a business plan. And that's what I did. And here we are 7 years later with 8 locations and a franchise.
Well, how did Texas fall into play? Because you were on the West Coast at the time.
Yes. Well, we moved from California to Texas in 2003. So I was in Texas when we started this eyelash adventure. And actually, right before I left the West Coast, I was doing mostly massage and aesthetics. And yes, working at Google, that was a wonderful job. In fact, I got hauled off to Texas kicking and screaming because I didn't want to leave it. But my husband's job brought us to Texas. So coming to Texas, I had to build up my business again and added the lashes. And when I determined to do the eyelash salon, I looked everywhere, all over the web, all over the U.S., and there was no such type of business. So it was really the first of its kind in Texas, for sure, and potentially the first, you know, in the whole U.S.
Anna's business is called The Lash Lounge, and you can find her at thelashlounge.com to find out all about this. We're going to discover more about this as we talk about it. One of the things you have on your website, it says, welcome to your new addiction.
Right.
It sounds like this is very addicting to women once they have these eyelash extensions.
That's right. You know, that phrase actually just came out of a lunchroom conversation, and then I decided to trademark it. And it's one of those things. The lashes are similar to nails, where once you get them on, you have to keep coming back every 2 or 3 weeks for refills.
Because those nails look awful once they start.
That's right,
apart.
They grow out.
Yeah.
So, same goes for your eyelashes, because your hairs do fall out. So once you start losing them, you start having fewer extensions attached to your eyelid. And so women realize once they get them on, they don't have to do much makeup in the morning. They look gorgeous. They look refreshed. Some of our women look like they've had an eyelid surgery, and they become addicted. We've had clients coming to me since I opened the salons 7 years ago. And in fact, we just recently had a client. We just love her story. She came in and she got her lashes on. She fell in love. She's been coming to us for 3 months now regularly. And she told one of our stylists, you know, I have had a smoking habit for 50 years. I've tried to quit it. I've done everything there is to quit my smoking habit. And I've been thinking about getting these lashes on, but I didn't have the funds. And I decided I'm going to give up smoking so I can afford my lashes. And she says, now I'm not going back. And her brother is trying to quit smoking now, too.
So now we have a new way to quit smoking. Just
that's
get the,
right.
the addiction, to, switch addictions from smoking to eyelash extensions. As I was thinking about speaking with you last night, a quotation came to me that the eyes are the windows to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So you're working on those, the shades of the eyes to help them look even better.
Right. We, another kind of phrase that we use for our business is, you know, we help people feel better about themselves because they look more beautiful. They feel more confident when they look beautiful. Some women just have never seen themselves like this before.
This is all brand new to them. You said, and one of the things you said, I noticed on your website too, that and as a man
mm-hmm.
who has never put on makeup in his life,
right.
I just can't see myself as a woman spending the time to put makeup on every day. But what appealed to me, as you mentioned before, mm-hmm. was the fact that with a couple of your different services, that this saves a lot of time.
That's right. You know, women spend countless minutes, hours, some every morning putting on mascara, putting on makeup. With the extensions, you come in maybe once or twice a month to get refills, and there's no need for anything else on your eyes.
To me, this is absolutely amazing. I want to find out and talk to Anna more about exactly what these eyelash extensions are and the other services she has. And again, if you're at a computer, you can go to thelashlounge.com. And when you get there, you'll see all the different services that we're going to talk about after the break. Stay with us. I'm Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. We'll be back right after this.
Imagine being 6 years old and confined to a wheelchair. Imagine being 50 years old with a medical condition that can't be fixed with medication. Now, imagine the same individuals enjoying a special place to ride a horse, go for a swim, or fly down a zip line. No barriers. No one stares at your disability. The no's turn into yeses. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. Your financial gifts help bring the camp experience to those special individuals. Help turn the no's into yeses by donating whatever you can to Camp Summit through a link on the Camp Summit website. Visit campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org for more information. Or call 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900.
Check, please.
I got it.
Well, that's the second time this week, and you got a new smartphone? Did you get a raise?
Nope. I got a refi on my car loan with NASA Federal Credit Union.
Can I get one, too?
Sure. Just call 1-855-399-NASA. They'll beat your current APR by at least 2%.
2%? Heck, with that kind of money, I could buy lunch for you and really nice dinners out with my wife.
Yeah. I was paying 3.49% APR, and they took me down to 1.49 APR. Plus, I got 90 days to make my first payment. It was easy and fast.
But you don't work for NASA.
You don't have to work for NASA to refinance your car loan with NASA Federal. Just call 1-855-399-NASA or visit nasafcu.com/KLIF. Tell them your current APR and they'll beat it by at least 2%.
You can't beat that.
But you got to move fast. It's a limited time offer. Call 855-399-NASA or visit nasafcu.com/KLIF.
Floor rate is 1.49 annual percentage rate. Subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions apply. Call 855-399-NASA for details.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
I'm Lars David Staber, general manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Ellen Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
News changes in an instant.
So does our news coverage.
News and information, 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2, KLIF.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
We are back. This is Playmakers Talk Show, and we are speaking with Anna Phillips. Anna is the founder and the president of the Lash Lounge, which is a new concept for women that, as we talked about in the first segment, was a new addiction. And one of the services that the Lash Lounge has is the semi-permanent eyelash extensions. And, Annie, you were talking earlier about the fact that they need to be done on a regular basis because we do lose our eyelashes and our hairs. But tell us exactly how that works. What does a woman comes in your shop and mm-hmm. she wants to have eyelash extensions. Tell us what happens next.
Sure. The eyelash extensions are semi-permanent for a reason because they're attached to your hairs and your hairs do fall out. So they are individual hairs made of a synthetic material, which means that they're man-made. We do not deal with human or natural hairs because there's potential a lot of risks with allergic reactions there. So the synthetic hairs are curled, different degrees of curls. They're perfect eyelashes, essentially a little thicker at the base, thinner at the tip. And the hairs that we use that are most popular are pitch black, so they give that mascara look. So we use a medical-grade adhesive that's very similar to the Dermabond that a lot of hospitals use to suture skin back together. And our clients basically lay down on a spa-like bed. They close their eyes. We use an anti-wrinkle gel pad to kind of hold down gently their bottom lashes, and they close their eyes. And one by one, we attach these synthetic extensions to one of their natural hairs, about a millimeter away from the base. So they're not actually touching the skin. They shouldn't feel them. You could comb through them. They're like an appendage, if you will. And essentially, they just grow out and shed when that hair naturally sheds. So the glue or the adhesive that we use, our women can shower with them. They can swim. They can cry. It's great for weddings or any kind of emotional event. And they're a little bit thicker than your natural hair. And then we can do a varying degree of length. So we like to do a variety of lengths and really kind of create a different design for each woman. It's like a snowflake. No woman's eyelashes are going to be the same.
Well, people's faces are all different.
That's right.
And I can see how some may need a shorter eyelash, some may need a longer, or those who just want to have a longer eyelash. Now, I'm looking at you right now and haven't asked, but I'm guessing you do have the eyelash extensions and they look extremely natural.
Thank you. And that's really what most of our clients do want. They want something natural. They don't want them to walk through the door before the rest of their body does. But then we do have those requests as well. So we can accommodate anything. Most of our clients want something natural but enhanced.
They come in, they lay down, is I think you mentioned this on your website, it's almost like a spa feeling when they're laying down and relaxing, because they're probably not feeling very much because it doesn't touch the skin. How long does this take for their first eyelash extension?
Your first visit is what we call a full set. So we're putting on essentially a first layering of lashes, which is anywhere from 50 to 100 lashes per eye. And that's going to take anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours, varying greatly on how many lashes you're coming in for. Once you have that full set, it's just a regular maintenance. We call them refills, and that takes anywhere from half an hour to an hour for your visits.
You must have extremely good technicians to be able to take those one by one up to 100 for 2 hours. That's got to be a very technical and intensive work for them.
Yes. Tedious would be another word, but it's also actually very gratifying, I would say, because they're able to kind of build this design. It's like building a beautiful puzzle, if you will, because at the end, the clients open up and it just looks beautiful.
I'm sure there's three words some of them say. They look at themselves and say, oh, my God.
That's right.
They had never looked that way before.
That's right.
Before that. Well, you have a few other services, too. One of them is permanent makeup. Is that something that has become more popular?
It's something that's becoming more popular. It is considered a tattoo. Same method of tattooing on the skin is done on the face. What we've done is created this salon that is dedicated to eyelashes as our niche. And then we have a handful of other complementary type services that lend to low maintenance beauty. So permanent makeup also allows our clients to have their eyeliner, their lips done, their eyebrows on. So essentially they can wake up and go and look beautiful.
I watch a lot of movies, and it looks like that when women wake up after sleeping all night in the movie, like they had their makeup on all night.
Yeah.
What about eyebrow threading? I thought that was interesting.
Oh, yes. This is a new service that we've added based on demand from our customers. We've had a lot of clients asking us for some type of brow removal, waxing or such. And we've come across a brow threading apparatus that was actually patented and created by a doctor. We like to keep a lot of our products and services medical grade or medical level. And this apparatus keeps the brow threading very sanitary. So essentially it's like a very easy hair removal process.
Well, one of the things I was looking at your website in front of me, again, that's thelashlounge.com, and it says that you are making, it's flipping through, and I don't remember what was there, making makeup easy, something like that, that's on your website? We're making effortless glamour more convenient. That's what it says.
Go.
There we go. It sounds like that's what they get at the Lash Lounge, but it's not just your Lash Lounge. You are spreading out. We talked about franchising earlier. Let's talk about franchising for a few moments. sounds like you want to expand. You want to have, what, 10 locations by the end of this year and about 25 within the next 5 years. That's Tell right. us about how one becomes a franchisee.
Sure. Well, we have a we started turning our concept. I had three corporate salons, open one up each year after I opened the first one. And then I started getting the demand from customers asking me, how do I open up one? So we turned this into a franchise system in 2009 and started selling our franchises in 2010. And so we've got a whole system on our website. There's a franchising web page on there that helps walk our franchise prospects, anyone who's interested, through the process. What all do they get? What all does a Lash Lounge franchise do for them? And, you know, we get a lot of questions. It's funny because our office is very open, so I can hear the other end of the phone call sometimes, and I can tell when a man calls in and they say, really, you can make money from eyelashes? And usually my sales staff chuckles a little bit. But at the end of the day, the numbers speak for themselves. So the business concept is great on multi levels, really. It makes people feel better about themselves. So you're fulfilling a passion. And then it also helps you fulfill your income and lifestyle dreams.
Well, you're providing a service, and women mm-hmm. are going to find the service someplace. So you might as well be the one that provides it.
That's right.
On the website, thelashlounge.com, Anna said you can check out franchising. It's very prominent at the top. And as it says, there's no beauty industry experience required. There's also a video about the franchising opportunity. We were speaking before the show started about the fact that you have a lot of women mm-hmm. that franchisees and some husband and wives, but no men specifically. But this sounds like it could be a great business for a man to run and hire the right people.
That's right. We do not discriminate. We just happen to have a lot of women interested in us. And usually the husband comes along. We have quite a few husbands that are franchisees as well. And we have a good handful of men that are in our pipeline right now that are seeing the light.
The Lash Lounge is what Anna Phillips is president and founder of. Again, you can go to thelashlounge.com, and it's all about different products, and you also have a boutique for women, too. You do have a few mm-hmm. of the things you sell there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have everything for them.
We have everything for them. It's a one-stop shop. We've got, you know, multiple revenue streams coming into the business, and we make it easy for women to come and just have a great experience.
It's like almost like going to that spa.
That's right.
Anna, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, again, thank you for being here. Again, Anna Phillips, founder and president of the Lash Lounge. You can go to lashlounge.com to find out all about eyebrow extensions and possibly even becoming a franchise. Stay with us. We are going to speak to a woman whose father was the anesthesiologist when John Kennedy was brought to Parkland. That'll be right after our break. Stay with us. I'm Steve Klein, Playmakers Talk Show. We'll be right back.
Where you get your news each morning matters. There are lots of choices. You can have the news spoon-fed to you, or you can get it with a dose of real people. Every weekday morning, Dave Williams and Amy Shadroff, along with the KLIF News and Information in the Morning team, bring you the stories you've said you're interested in. Not just more drive-by shootings and car chases, but news that matters. News that will affect your wallet and your life. Dave and Amy, every weekday, 6 till 9, on News and Information 570 KLIF.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us.
President Obama speaking at a memorial service for the victims of the Washington, D.C. Navy Yard shooting.
We come together as a grateful nation to honor your loved ones, to grieve with you, and to offer, as best we can, some solace and some comfort.
The gunman killed 12 before fatally being shot by police. The president called Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta to offer America's condolences and support to the nation where a hostage situation is still unfolding. The Kenyan Red Cross says at least 68 people have been killed at the mall in Nairobi, 175 injured. The State Department says five Americans were hurt. The Navy searching for five crew members aboard a helicopter that crashed into the Red Sea. The Nighthawk went down while operating with the destroyer USS William P. Lawrence. Prisoner topped the box office, earning more than $21 million in its debut weekend. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Kick off another action-packed Mavs season at Mavs Toberfest, Friday, October 4th at the AAC. Doors open at 4 p.m. Parking is only $5 and admission is free. See your Dallas Mavericks hit the court, get autographs, and arrive early and play with the Dr. Pepper Hoop Troop. Your chance to get up close and personal with your Dallas Mavericks Friday, October 4th at the AAC. It's Mavs Toberfest.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your Quantum Leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of eight key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to.
With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. Again, I'm Steve Klein, and this segment's a little bit different from what we've had in the past. We're now going to speak to Christy Jenkins. She is the daughter of an anesthesiologist. She's putting together a show called Kennedy Parkland Doctor's Daughter, The Missing Piece. And almost 50 years ago, on November 22, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was shot. He was transported to Parkland Memorial Hospital, where Dallas native Christy Jenkins' father, Dr. M.T. Pepper Jenkins, led the team that attempted to save the president. Now, Christy's developing a full second-to-second description of her father attending President Kennedy in the ER. In this never-before-released footage, Dr. Jenkins tells the real story of what happened at Parkland. Christy, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be on it.
So tell us about this 70-minute show. What will you have about the Kennedy assassination and your dad?
No one has ever seen. I'll be happy to tell you. So my father was the chief of anesthesiology at Southwestern Medical School in Parkland. And anesthesiologists are in charge of resuscitating a patient. It doesn't matter if a wonderful heart transplant happens. If the patient isn't breathing, the patient's not alive. So an anesthesiologist is considered the head of the team to resuscitate. And my father was a really, first of all, he was handsome. He looked like a cross between Robert Redford and Paul Newman. He was very charismatic, well-spoken, bright blue twinkling eyes, very beloved worldwide, a very well-known doctor worldwide, actually. So he was also a very detailed guy. You know, it is true that doctors after surgeries, particularly ones that are complicated, they need to sit down and make notes immediately after this is any surgery. But what he did, he had a dictaphone, which I still have, this dictaphone, which is a precursor to a handheld tape recorder. And when the doors closed, and I'll get to what happened, when the doors closed and he left Trauma Room 1 at Parkland Hospital, he went straight to his office, locked the door, sat down with a dictaphone, and recorded into it every single thing he could remember about the day, what he was eating when he got the call to go to the ER, what happened, who was in the room when he got there, what he did, what was said, what did Mrs. Kennedy do, what did the priest do, what did this guy do, what did that guy do. He drew a map, he drew a diagram of who was in the room, exactly who was in the room, which is funny. He did this just for his own edification. There was no conspiracy talk or anything wild at that time. He was just being very complete. And what's funny is, you know, there's several thousand people who claim to have been in the room, and of course it was just a tiny room. There were only 12 people in there. So he put all this on dictaphone with what he calls a brain dump about President Kennedy and what happened that day at Parkland. And then he worked 2 days later on Oswald, and later in his career he worked on Jack Ruby in prison. And when my father was clearly going to, you know, his life was ending, he had about a year to live, I decided I better put this on videotape, not just have the old dictaphone and not just have it typed out transcript, but put him on videotape. So I created a little vent in Beverly Hills and invited some people, and he stood at the, you know, podium, and we taped it of him describing everything that happened that day, second by second. So it's a real recording out of a doctor's mouth, what happened. And then many years passed, and I just kept this footage and did nothing with it. No one saw it. And 5 years ago, at the 45th anniversary of the assassination, I turned it into a stage play, a theater piece that was me on stage talking, but on the big screen behind me, video and images and photos, and I took people through Dallas that day. What was Dallas like? What was Dallas like in 1963? What were the cars like? What did the women wear? What were the streets like? All the way up through Oswald's flight and capture and a little bit beyond that. And then the heart of the show, the heart of the 70-minute show, is my father, Dr. Pepper Jenkins, 23 minutes, edited tape with original music, and is very beautifully done, and newsreel added in, telling the story of what happened in Trauma Room 1 with President Kennedy. And it is riveting. Now, when I first did this as a theater piece, I didn't know. 23 minutes. It's at the point of the stage where I sit down on a bench, the lights go dark, and the lights come up on the video screen. Would people cough? Would this be when they excuse themselves, go to the restroom? Would people like it? Would they think it was too long? Was it not, you know, shot interestingly enough? There wasn't a pin drop in the, I mean, it was so quiet. People loved it. They were riveted by it. So we had comment cards out in the lobby after I did it. I did it first in Seattle, actually, where I was living at the time, and I wanted to be as far away from Dallas with it as possible and get really fresh eyes reactions. And this is when I added to the title, which is already long, Kennedy Parkland, Doctor's Daughter, I added in the subtitle of The Missing Piece, because the comments were, this is the missing piece. This is what no one ever talks about. We see the Zapruder film, and then we jump over to conspiracies, and it makes us feel confused, and I never feel at peace about it. I don't know what happened. Everything seems to be an extravagant lie or an extravagant truth. And this was the part. This was real. This is something really, really real.
And this is
what happened. What happened when Kennedy went in? What happened?
And I want to jump in here just for a moment, Christy, because you said a couple of things I want to tell listeners. If you wanted, Christy talked about her father. You can get a look at Christy and her father on the website, and you can see what he looked like. And I'm guessing that picture was probably taken late 80s, early 90s when he was receiving an award. But
yep.
Past the stage play, one of the things, the reason I have Christiana, what she's moving toward, which we'll talk about in a few moments, is Christie's putting together a DVD about all this, about 70 minutes long, and she is looking for people to become a part of that. And you may, as listeners, want to become a part of all this, too, and we'll tell you how you can do it. And if there's anything you want to add, Christie, at this point, you can. But you can continue now from the stage play.
Yeah. Well, let me go to what you said. Thanks for putting in the plug for donations. I am seeking donations. I'm not seeking to put anyone else on tape talking about that day. It's a very complete show in and of itself. But I am trying to finish. I have the ear of the History Channel, which is great. They want to see more completed reel from me. I have not been able to complete it. I'm about $20,000 in. I've sort of massaged it for the last 6 years. And I need finishing funds. I'm looking for $8,000 in finishing funds. So if anyone out there thinks, you know, this sounds interesting, I'll send in a $100 contribution. That assures you that I will also send you a copy of the DVD. And it's all on Steve Klein's Playmakers website for the radio station. And I'm sure he'll give you how to find that. Steve?
Yes, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. It's all on there. And originally, Christie started with Kickstarter. For those of you who aren't aware of Kickstarter, it's a website that helps entrepreneurs raise money for the businesses. And Christie was short at that. Ended, Christie, in April. Is that correct?
Yes, that was an unsuccessful crowdfunding attempt. You have to raise the entire amount that you have asked for, or you get nothing, even though there were pledges made. So I think there's a lot of information on your website, Steve, which comes off of Kickstarter. If you see that, listeners, you know, feel free to read it. It's the information, and it is the video of a little piece of my dad. But you cannot make a pledge on Kickstarter. That ended in April. So there's an address there to send a check. There is an email from my production assistant. He would be more than happy to receive an email from you asking for how you can send a donation, and, you know, we're keeping an accurate count. Just to say, in terms of DVD fulfillment and people actually getting their DVDs, 17 years ago, I created the first video to teach sign language to the general public, and we still fulfill that. We've sent out over 200,000 of those, so we know what we're doing in this area. And I used to write television, so this is all professional. This is not a backyard production by any means. It's broadcast quality, and if you pledge and you send $100, you will get a copy. It will be shipped on November 20th. That's the national release date of it.
And Christie knows how to promote, in addition to the sign language for everyone, how to talk to a person who can't hear. She also had a best-selling book, which was called Buns, A Woman Looks at Men's. And yeah, we'll talk more about that. I want to also talk about the fact that Christie was there to see John Kennedy on November 22nd. We need to take a break now. My name is Steve Klein. We're continuing to talk to Christie Jenkins, who is a Dallas native. We'll talk about that, too. And her father, Pepper Jenkins, Dr. Pepper Jenkins, who is the anesthesiologist at Parkland Hospital. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
Imagine being 6 years old and confined to a wheelchair. Imagine being 50 years old with a medical condition that can't be fixed with medication. Now, imagine the same individuals enjoying a special place to ride a horse, go for a swim, or fly down a zip line. No barriers. No one stares at your disability. The no's turn into yeses. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. Your financial gifts help bring the camp experience to those special individuals. Help turn the no's into yeses by donating whatever you can to Camp Summit through a link on the Camp Summit website. Visit campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org for more information. Or call 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-441-1454. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff, or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-441-1454. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-441-1454. That's 1-800-441-1454.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that Love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say, there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
I'm Lars David Staberg, General Manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Ellen's Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We are speaking with Christy Jenkins. Christy is putting a DVD, a documentary together called Kennedy, Parkland, Doctors, Daughter, The Missing Piece. Now, Christy doesn't like talking about something called a conspiracy theory. But let me ask you, Christy, did your father have any kind of a theory?
He had a realistic approach to what happened. Now, what you have to remember, I honestly don't know if Dallas is better these days about gunshots. I don't know. But in that day, in 63, the docs at Parkland Hospital referred to the ER as the Dallas Knife and Gun Club because it was just constant stream of people coming in with knife wounds and gunshot wounds. So the doctors there were very, very, very practiced at being able to simply glance at a patient and know from what angle and what range and how far the gunshots were. Anyone that came in, that was their job. That was they were just good at that. So it wasn't like when Kennedy came in, oh, gosh, I wonder where the shots came from. I wonder where the holes are. There was no question. They looked, they assessed, they knew, they worked, they resuscitated, they did what they could. So later, when it all came out, all these conspiracies about, oh, it was from here and there and the grassy knoll and the thing and the fence, they just were in amazement. They were in head-scratching amazement, all the doctors in that room, because they knew where the gunshots came from. What are people discussing? Where is this coming from? It was quite a shock to them that these conspiracy theories came out about where the direction of the shots were. And so, you know, the evidence of standing there, let's just say what you'll see on the DVD, people like to believe stories about people who weren't even there, who've never even been to Dallas. They like to believe those stories. The way I end the show, Kennedy Parkland Show, is I say I choose to believe the only man in the world who stood at the head of President Kennedy, whose blood from President Kennedy's head ran down his lab coat, down his legs, into his shoes, the man with the view of the head, the man who was there, the second doctor in the room and the last person to leave even after the priest because he had to take off the electrocardiogram leads on his body and various things that Dad talks about what he did to President Kennedy's body and something very private and special and unique that Mrs. Kennedy said to him, and because she could see that he knew what was actually going on. And President Kennedy had such a big, bushy hair, lots of hair, a full head of hair. So the largest area exposed of his brain, the flap of hair and skin had come down over it. So when he came in to the ER, he looked pretty good. I mean, anyone just glancing at him, he looked pretty good because his head seemed to be intact. But my father saw right away that the head was not intact.
Well, let me ask you this question, Chrissy. You mentioned this before, and I don't want to give away everything that's in the DVD, but how many people were actually in the room, including your father?
12.
And these were all doctors? Or you mentioned a priest also?
There was a priest and Mrs. Kennedy in Secret Service and a couple of interns.
Well, one of the things,
but, you know, you can meet any intern that ever worked in Dallas and they'll all say that they were in the room. And, you know, I mean, seriously, if you read all the reports and all the theories, there were about at least 1,000 people in that room.
That's right. Everybody said they were at Woodstock, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to switch the subject,
it's
but
harder to disprove.
That's right. I'm not going to change the subject, not intentionally, but I'm doing it anyway. You were at the parade route. You were there watching.
Yeah, most of us in Dallas were there that day. You know, I was in grade school, and I decided, there's president coming. I should see. And my mom came and picked me up, and with one of my brothers, and we stood on Lemon Avenue near Loma Alta, and there was a railroad overpass there at that time. I'm not certain if there still is. I don't think so. But my brother remembers seeing Secret Service, or men with rifles, as he would have said as a young boy, up on the overpass there at Loma Alta. And, you know, we were already back home and having lunch when the news report came on about the shooting, and we knew exactly that Dad would be, you know, leading the team to resuscitate. I mean, that was his role as chief of anesthesiology. So, it was a day that unfortunately followed him around till the day he died. And the unfortunate thing about that is he made some very big medical strides in his own right, which he was lauded for and has received many, many worldwide awards for certain ideas he had about patient care in the OR so people could wake up better and hydrated and with their brain cells intact. And he won all kinds of medical awards for these things. But, you know, the big thing that followed him around was Kennedy, Kennedy, Kennedy. And I actually witnessed an interview with one of the conspiracy theorists. I'm going to clean up my language and use just nice words right now, who sat down and my father said what he said. And then the book came out and he just changed his words. The writer just changed my father's words to fit that writer's theory, and that happened a lot to my dad. So this is like a piece of the real thing. And it's not like my father, when I put him on tape, he didn't have to remember, he didn't have to recreate what happened. He had his notes from minute one after he left the trauma room one. His notes from the dictaphone that were then transcribed, he just read from his own notes. He didn't add anything to it. He didn't have to add anything. It was quite complete.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, as you were talking about what your dad had done, one of the things that he had developed was a procedure that's used every day in operating rooms around the world. Now tell us about that.
Yeah. I'm not going to, if any doctors listening to this are going to fault me for being a non-med, but they call it white blood, crystal blood, white crystalloid, the drip that goes into your arm that hydrates you while you're being, poisoned. Anesthesia is poison. You have to poison the body in a way to put it to sleep so you don't feel the pain. But you need to also be able to wake up from that and still have your brain cells, which was the problem with surgery before my father developed this intravenous technique. He and Dr. Charles Tandy, who is still a prominent physician in Dallas, the two of them together came up with this idea. I think there was a third person, and I'm leaving them out right now, and I don't want to leave them out, and I apologize. But then, you know, my dad was the one, as the anesthesiologist, to try it and try this method. And because they were in Dallas, which was, you know, a podunk city in the 60s, cowboys, people with guns, that was the, you know, worldwide perception of Dallas, Texas. The Eastern schools, the Yales and Harvards of the world, didn't pay much attention to it. They scoffed at it. They thought, oh, this is just ridiculous. And, of course, within 5 years, everyone was using it. And still worldwide, this is the technique used in operating rooms. So a lot of people have felt that my father would have won the Nobel Prize for this innovation if he had only been at an Eastern Seaboard school and not at the medical school in Dallas.
Well, let's continue with that, because he obviously was a prominent anesthesiologist. Because was he called in when Lee Harvey Oswald was shot, and was he called in to actually
there.
Be there for the surgery for Jack Ruby?
I mean, he was at the hospital that Sunday morning.
So Lee Harvey Oswald, was that also trauma room one?
I think it was trauma room two, actually. I don't know that. I try to not delve into – I already know more than I – I mean, I don't need to know that he shot him with a Manley Gear Carcano rifle, but I know that. I don't need to know this stuff.
but he was the anesthesiologist on
but
call.
My father was – yeah, he was – well, as the chief, he was just simply there. There was something else very specific and large going on, meaning Kennedy weekend, Oswald, many odd things happening. So he felt where he needed to be was at the hospital, and that's just where he was for the whole weekend.
What about Jack Ruby in prison? Was he called in specifically to be there also?
Specifically for Ruby, a couple times, actually. He anesthetized him. When Ruby was in prison, he had cancer, and he needed a couple surgeries, so my father did the prison surgeries, yeah.
Well, let's talk one more time about...
I actually met Jack Ruby when I was a young girl, because I grew up in Dallas training for the Olympics in figure skating, which nobody did in the 60s. It was just, I was just this eccentric child. And but one day at Fair Park, which was the only ice arena in town, this man named Jack Ruby, who owned strip clubs, came in, and he brought two of his strippers. I only remember one was named Candy Kane, because I thought that was sort of a cute name. And he wanted me, just us girls on the ice, could we take them around? He thought bodies would improve maybe if they learned how to skate. Their bodies would be in shape a little more. So it was just this one day he brought these two girls in. So I had that funny meeting with him when I was about, I don't know, probably the year before, probably age 8.
I'm going to stop you right there, because we have about a half minute left. I want you to talk one more time about the donations, which are on the website, my website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Tell everybody why and what you're doing.
I'm finishing the documentary, Kennedy Parkland, Doctor's Daughter, The Missing Piece. I am seeking $8,000 in donations. You only need to send 100 to receive your own copy of the DVD, shipped November 20th. That's the national release date. And I'm trying to finish a whole lot more of it right now, because I have the ear of the History Channel. Thank God they're taking my calls, and I need to keep editing a little more to send them to get them to say yes.
Okay, that's
broadcast.
And that's at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Please go there and check out what Christy's looking for. You'll get a copy of the DVD. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Thank you very much for joining us. We will see you again, same time, same place, next week.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse, much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collections, options and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the Shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-299-18.